switching gears a little bit, you mentioned earlier several of the people who had influenced you. What books would you say folks who do what we do must have in their library?
Oh, wow. Certainly Tom's book. On the legal side, I'd recommend mine and Andrew Branca's, and Jim Fleming now has an excellent book out also called Aftermath. He's a very seasoned criminal defense lawyer. I've taught CLE with him, and the guy knows his stuff. Going back to the old days, of course, Cooper on Handguns was classic. If you can find a copy of Cooper's very first book on the topic, Fighting Handguns, kind of shows you what state of the art was in the mid-50s. You know, pictures of Jeff Cooper shooting from the hip. Back in Time, McGivern, certainly, Fitzgerald, The Book on Earth. The new book out now on Frank Hamer, which does not go much into technique, but does kind of show you what his tactics were. And you can learn a great deal from that. But the title is Texas Ranger, subtitled The Autobiography of Frank Hamer, and it's by far the best of the Hamer biographies. It just came out this year, and for the life of me, I cannot remember the author's name. Forgive me.
That's okay.
Certainly anything by Cooper in the 1960s, the work of Chick Gaylord and Paul Weston shows pretty much where it was at the time. The Street Survival text has a lot of good tactical stuff in it, though much of the gun handling stuff has gone into the trash bin of time. And the subsequent books, Tactical Edge and Tactics for High-Risk Patrol. Let's see. What else? So many of the guys I wished had written books haven't, you know. I would like to see John Helms, for example, write a book. Jimmy Simone, who's in 14 Gunfights, has a book coming out, actually. I think it's out by now, his biography. But very little on the shootings, focusing much more on mindset of aggressive policing.
Yeah.
What it was like the two times he got shot, what he and his family went through. And that's certainly useful reading. Alexis Artwall's work with Loren Christensen is probably the best we have right now in print on understanding the physiopsychological aspects of violent encounters. Rory Miller, as I said, Stanton Samenow's book on the criminal mind. Obviously, you can't defeat enemies you don't understand. I am with so many of the people in our circle. When is William April going to write the definitive text? When is Byrne going to finish the book? You know?
Yeah.
When is Craig Douglas going to do the encyclopedia of ECQC? But
I'll be sure and tell him you said that.
We are in a golden time for the quality of training. There's probably more bullshitters around than ever, but you know, you don't need that many IQ points to sort the wheat from the chaff.
Well, and it's interesting. As soon as you finished with some of the more contemporary stuff, you immediately went back to, I think your phrase was, the old days. What do you say to guys that are coming up now who would you know, balk at that and say, well, what is the point of me reading some book from the 60s by some old guy who's dead who used to shoot one hand with a revolver, and that has nothing to do with my context and my technology?
I would tell him, son, when you are alone in that freight yard that Bill Jordan talks about, it's not going to matter what kind of gun or what kind of holster. It's going to matter that you are alone against the unknown, and what that man who has faced that, prevailed against it, can teach you about that is absolutely timeless. Certainly Charles Askins is another. I knew Charlie. He was kind of a mentor, though not so much as Jordan or Chapman. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff he's written, particularly his autobiography, Unrepentant Sinner, there's a lot you can pick up from that, too, you know, about the essentially the mindset. In the old days, it was like, it's us against them. It's like, we're the heroic Americans against the evil Axis. And it's really not like that today, but at the same time, when it's one-on-one and you facing him, only one of you is likely to walk away. It's something you'll have wanted to absorb. So it's not hard to put together a pretty good library of the been there, done that folks.
Sure. Just one last question. What we talked about adding combatives and force on force. You just mentioned ECQC. What type of training would you like to see come to the fore in the future, in the next 20 years? What would you like to see everybody focusing on?
The integration of use of force training is not yet complete. I would like to see more of that. Basically, it's going to be about recognizing, you know, in a time when it's unpopular to say warrior and police in the same sentence. When Perf himself is saying, we're not warriors, we're guardians. I need someone to explain to me how you can be a guardian without being a warrior.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, the sheepdog needs fangs. Well, I was using the sheepdog analogy before Grossman, who, by the way, Grossman is another inspirational speaker.
Okay.
And some of us don't agree with everything. I know he bought into some acidal stuff more than John or I did. But his stuff on the psychology of facing violence and the why are you there as the protector with the gun is inspirational. And we do have to touch on that. It's not, oh, I don't want an inspirational speaker, for Christ's sake. I can get that on Sunday Money Television. No, you can't. You need, when you're training young people, and it amazes me now with so many people we have coming back from the war zone that we are still seeing so many new cops who have never got beyond junior college criminal justice associate's degree and never done anything more aggressive than, you know, play Area 51 in the college rec room. These are the people who need to hear Grossman, who need to hear this is the responsibility that you have taken on. These are the powers and the skills you will need to fulfill those responsibilities. But it's a very complicated puzzle, and each of us only has one or two pieces at a time. But doing what Tom does, doing what we do at International Law Enforcement Educators and Trainers Association, bringing in a bunch of people who've each got pieces of the puzzle, helps the new ones a whole lot to put it together enough to see, if not the whole picture, to get a damn good idea what they're looking at and what needs to be filled in.
What do you think is the biggest threat to the training community right now?
Right now, the politicians. Ironic that just before it takes a tank to breach the wall and rescue the remaining hostages in Orlando, our president has said no more military-grade equipment for police. Effing what? Like it or not, it sounds pompous to say it. Police are society's gunfighters.
Mm.
The same politicians who are saying, oh, no, you don't need guns to protect yourself. The police will do it. Just call 911. Wayne LaPierre at the National Rifle Association is insane when he says you need a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun. No, you need to call 911. I see, and what will 911 do? Well, they will send a good guy with a gun. Okay, wait a fucking minute here. Are you listening to yourself speak? You stand surrounded by heavily armed Secret Service agents. Are you listening to what's coming out of your mouth here?
Have you seen
I think the general public. I think the general public needs to know a lot more about just how thin the thin blue line is. And that, you know, in a world where people take responsibility for learning things like CPR and emergency trauma care, and you're considered irresponsible if you don't have a fire extinguisher in your car or in your home, tell me how that is at all different from the pistol on my hip or the pistol in Tiffany Johnson's belly band that's there for the exact same purpose, emergency life-saving rescue tool for the first responder, when we're waiting for your 11-minute response.
11 minutes is pretty good, actually. I would hope for that in Memphis. Well, knowing kind of where Tom's going with this project. And I think what he's focused on is putting down some of the history that now is might be just more oral history among the folks who have lived through the evolution of the training community. I think he wants to document that for some of these new folks coming up, and maybe talk about the rationale behind what changes have you know taken place in what we do. And so, with that in mind, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, not really. One of the things I've been kind of sad to see take hold, that's been going on for 20, 30 years, is the half-assed grasp of civil liability that led so many police departments to go from, okay, we'll give you a master's badge, we'll give you an expert badge, depending how you qualify, you can wear it proudly on your uniform in front of the public, to, nope, we're going pass-fail. So, okay, we're going to disregard incentives for excellence. Okay, I get it.
Chuck Hagger talks a lot about that. A lot.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Your stupid liability thing. I want to slap your dumbass lawyer that told you that upside the head.
Yeah.
Because that's going to last 30 seconds of cross-examination. Mr. Instructor, bear in mind that you're under oath. Are you aware of why they went to Fastville? Yes, sir. For civil liability reasons? Yes, sir. So there would be no record of the extremely poor versus the extremely good practitioner with that life-saving tool. I guess you could say that. Thank you, Mr. Instructor. No further questions.
Exactly. How is that helping?
Got a stake in the heart.
Well, I sure do appreciate your time, Moss.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Sorry to take so much of your time, Jeff. Really looking forward to seeing your book.